One, two, three, Jesus loves me, and this is going to be helping the child to understand the message of salvation. I think everyone that wants to come or was going to attend to this session, I think you guys are here, which is great. Let's open in a prayer. Marja, would you open up in prayer?
Yes. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for all that you've brought to our attention, Father God, to all the little reds, the yellows, the blues, and the greens, Father God. And Lord, we know that if we weren't able to find our color in there, Lord, we know that you made us by your own design, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be able to learn the things that you would want us to learn here for everyone that's here, Lord. And be with the teachers, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I have this plant right here that I watered. I fed it plant food. I put it into this inhabit, you know, take it to the sun, brought it back in home, and just not growing. I expect it to grow. I just can't see why it's not growing. Do you think there's something else I should do with this plant? What do you think? Well, how can I expect this plant to grow? What should I do?
Did you water it?
I did. I sure did.
She put it in the sun. She put it in the
I did. I brought it back in home.
Talk to it.
I did. I talked to it. I said, you're the most beautiful plant I ever had. You know, this is an experiment. So every morning I will go and smell it, and it's just not growing.
Fertilizer, maybe.
Fertilizer. Well, I don't know. Do you think it's not growing just because it's dead?
It does look pretty dried out.
Do you think it's not growing because it's dead? This is a question we often have to make ourselves. How many times have we realized that our kids are spiritually dead? And yet, we want them to grow to be like Jesus. Yeah, we want them to learn Bible truths. But they're just like this. They can't receive, no matter how much I water it, no matter how much we teach them. It's just not making any change. It's just not growing. And that's because those kids that we have class after class, time after time, probably they're spiritually dead, just like this plant. No matter how much we talk to them, no matter how many times we say the message of salvation, they can't grow. They won't be any different. There won't be any changing life because they're still dead. So our question for today, and as we go through this message, this gospel message, the salvation, think about it. How many kids in your class you happen to know that they're not growing? Because you have had them for a couple of years. And maybe they were born in church. And maybe you see them move from one class to another class to another class. But they just don't seem to grow spiritually. They just seem not to be learning any Bible truth. Do you think God changed? Do you think his power is not good enough to transform a kid? Do you think that maybe it's a waste of time trying to teach them? Do you think that the Bible is not effective anymore? Or do you think they're not growing because they're still dead? Spiritually dead. They need Jesus to be alive. I'm going to pass it around, but there is a little green in the middle. This little green is what Jesus starts to do in our lives. That little green. It's not big.
Yeah,
it's
but
tiny.
It's there.
But that means Jesus is working. That means it's starting to grow back again. You see it? You see the little tiny green? This is what we want to see in our kids. Something. Little. But something. You see it? Might look dead in the outside. And yeah, it's kind of weird looking plant. It's dead, I know. But Why have not I thrown away? Because I see green. Because I know that if I keep watering it, put it in the sun, talking and loving my little plant, that little green thing is gonna grow again. But that little green means Jesus and the kids. If that green was not there, I would have to throw it away. Lust of hope. No need to waste any more time. No need to invest any more money or water or food plant or anything. Because it's dead. But when I saw that little green thing there, I had hope. That's what Jesus can do in our children's life. A little bit. As long as it's alive. Might look dead on the outside, but I know it still is alive because I see green. So when we start to see those kids different, little bit, little by little, even in us as adults, God is patient enough to transform us little by little. So the main question here is, do we want our kids to grow spiritually or just in the outside? Are they sick spiritually? Or what can I do to make it effective? That said, we're going to have two songs and then we're going to continue with our seminar. Just think about it. I don't know the kids in your class. I don't know how many they are. I don't know for how long they've been here. I don't know if they're new or not, but even though to those who were born in church, even for those who were brought in as babies, that doesn't make them a Christian.
It's like the stories you told about the man that was 72. He didn't know he was supposed to ask.
That doesn't make them a living, alive spiritually. They can grow and become like that man, but never, nothing ever changed. There was never nothing growing in him. He grew up to be an old man, 72-year-old man, but never in the inside, never spiritually changed. So that's the main question in this class. I want you to think, what do I need to do? How do I need to make it happen? Do I need to pray more? How can I make it effective for the kids to understand the message of salvation? So that said, I'm going to have Elena and Margie come and do our demonstration. We have two songs we want to share with you. They're amazing. We use them for a Good News Club. And it's just, you're going to see the gospel through it. Look for the gospel. See how can you help them. All the songs that you use, all the visual aids that you use, everything that you're teaching the kids have to have the message of salvation. Some kids might come to your club for 5 minutes, maybe they only heard the song, they left. But if they heard the song, that means they have the gospel. They heard it at least once.
Excuse me. Go ahead. Come on, people, now don't be late. It is time now to celebrate. Nothing in the world is better. Nothing in the world compares. Come on, people, now jump on in. We are giving the praise to Him. Nothing in the world is greater than God's love for you and you and you. Jesus is the good, good news. He's the way, the life, and truth. Gave His life in sacrifice. He paid the price. Jesus is the good, good news. He's the way, the life, and truth. He forgives all our sins. He's our Lord. He's our friend. Jesus is the great good news.
When we hear that, we're sharing the gospel. That's the message, who Jesus is. And what is Jesus all about? The good news. Gave His life in sacrifice. He paid the price. See, when we use songs, when we use flashcards, when we use our visual aids, everything that we use, we have to make the gospel, the message of salvation, clear enough for them to understand. Was this hard to understand? Was the song hard to understand? It's not even the Bible class. It's not the Bible lesson. It's not an invitation yet. It's a song.
It's a teaching song.
But with the gospel. And that's what makes it different. If we sing It's a Bitsy Spider, it's going to be fun. But that one has no message. There's a difference in between sharing the gospel different ways or just having fun. Okay? So now they're going to do God's Power.
My God is bigger than I am, strongest of all. He is able to make the summer turn into fall. He controls all that happens, His power's plain to see. And I know I can trust Him, for with His power He cares for me. God speaks to me in the Bible, shows me His love. He tells how the Lord Jesus came to earth from above. He tells how I can please Him and teaches me His ways. Yes, the Bible will guide me and give me strength for all my days.
Again, we hear the gospel. It's easy. It's clear. It's not a formula. It's not an equation. It's just a pure gospel. That wasn't hard, was it? Was it fun?
It was fun.
You think the kids will like to do it? The motions, the sound, the way we present it, the way we do it. They want to do it. They're ready to do it. Are we ready to share? They're ready to receive it. They're ready. They're there. But are we ready to share it?
You have to learn song first.
You have to get it in your heart, the music, in order to share it with them.
Yes.
And one thing they do like is if they can hold that up themselves.
Oh, right.
And then another one will lead it with them.
Yeah, they know that.
Okay, number one, you have your notes, right? Why lead children to Christ? Number one, God commands it. Matthew 28, 18 and 19 said, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Verse 19 says, go there and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Number two, it's a spiritual condition demands it. We're learning why to lead a children to Christ. That's the main thing we have to do. We have to make it alive. We got to get those kids alive, spiritually alive. Number one, he is a sinner. You have to fill that in. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. We were hearing about the different colors. And there is this kind of kid who never thinks done anything wrong. Have you ever sinned? No. Have you ever lied? No. Have you ever done something wrong? No. Well, even though you think you haven't, the Bible says, God says that we all have sinned.
And if you have skin, you have sinned.
We all have sin. Number two, he cannot understand spiritual truths. If they're not alive, again, they cannot understand spiritual truth. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Yes, they're children, but they're not holy. They're still sinners, just like you and me. Oh, well, they think they're not. Well, it's not what they think. It's what the Bible says. It's what God says. an overview of the message of salvation. Number one, foundational truths. Who God is. God is the creator of all things. He made all things. He made you. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He's our creator. Number two, God is love. He loves you and me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Not the plants and the trees and the animals and the ocean. No, you and me. The world means you. Whatever the kid is named, it's Elena, you Elena, God loves you. Margie, God loves you and me. It's not just the world. It's not my pet. It's not my stuffy animal. No, it's God loves you and me. We make it personal. Number three, God is holy, without sin and just. He is perfect. There is no sin in him. He is perfect. And that's in Acts 3:14. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murder to be granted to you. Who said that? Apostle Paul, he was saying that we denied the Holy One and the just. Holy One means perfect. As the kids, are you perfect? Do you ever make mistakes? Have you ever made a mistake? Do you ever need an eraser to erase something? That's easy.
That's sure.
Do you ever need white out? Well, God doesn't, because he is perfect. Okay, so I'm going to give you some Bible verses that you can use when sharing the gospel about God, who God is, and his love. Jeremiah 31:3, if you guys want to write it down, that's not in your outlines. 1 John 4:8. John 3:16, 1 John 4:10, Romans 5:8, 1 John 4:19, Jeremiah 31:3, 1 John 4:8, John 3:16, 1 John 4:10, Romans 5:8, 1 John 4:19. You can use any of these Bible verses to talk about God's love. We always use John 3:16, but it's not a rule. It's not a formula. That doesn't mean that if you don't use John 3:16, you can't get someone to the Lord. No. Just because that's the one we usually use, that's something we hear everywhere, but that doesn't mean that if you don't feel comfortable using that memory verse all the time, you can change it. You can make your invitation, you can present the gospel different ways. Okay, now we talked about the love, right? Who God is and his love. Number two, the need. They need it. Man is a sinner by nature and by act. We all were born with a want to do wrong things. And this is easy to explain. Have you seen a baby cry?
Yes.
Why is the baby crying? Doesn't the baby know he's not supposed to cry when we're in service? Why is the baby throwing the toys away? What a manners. Have a baby ever pull your hair? Well, who taught the baby that? Who said, baby, oh, here, pull my hair? Who did that? We were born wanting to do our own way, wrong things. So when a baby is born, we teach them to do right. Say, oh, no, no, baby, you don't throw the toys away. No, baby, you don't pull the hair. But who taught him wrong? We were all born like that. Because we have sin. So when we tell the kids, do you have a baby brother who is always bugging you around and saying, oh, you know, I like to take your stuff away and breaks your crayons and you don't understand why? Well, because he was born wanting to do wrong. Same as you when you were a baby. You were born wanting to do your own way, wanting to do wrong. But now we need to teach them to do right. In who? In Christ. Because that's Jesus' nature to do right, because he's holy, because he is love. Number two, first we say he's separated from, he's a sinner by nature. Sin separates us from God. You cannot go to heaven just the way you are. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Iniquities is another word for sin. The wrong things you've done. Bible says that the wrong things you do, no matter how little they are, separates you from God. Well, let's see. Let's say some examples of sin. Tell me an example of sin.
Stealing.
But probably a three-year-old will not steal because not even know what stealing is. Maybe a five-year-old will understand what stealing.
Maybe hitting.
Hitting. Oh, maybe if you say stealing, a boy or a girl says, well, I have never stealed anything. Mm-hmm. Murder. I never murdered anyone. Have you thought anything bad about mom and dad when they say turn off that TV? Have you ever disobeyed? Have you ever say anything bad about someone else? Oh, I don't like that girl.
I tell them they're murdering a reputation.
Wow. See?
They may not have done it physically.
Physically.
But if you're really saying bad things about people, you're murdering the reputation.
Exactly. So we have to make them aware that the wrong things they do is still a sin. And that separates them from who?
God.
From God. Choosing between chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream is not a sin. That's a choice. If you like red and I like blue, that's not sin. That's a choice. Are we getting clear enough? How do we present the gospel to the kids? But sin is everything we think, say, or do that breaks God's law, which is the Bible, and makes him sad. So what is that we do that breaks God's law? Well, that's how we find out in the Bible. That's our guide. That's where we go to. So we have to let them know that sin separates us from God. I'm going to show you a picture. And this is Juanito. And Juanito likes to do bad things. Oh, but he has not murdered anyone. He has not done anything really, really bad. Maybe just a little lie. But even that just a little lie, his heart has sinned. And he's separated from God in heaven. There is a break. They can be together because God is holy. He can take sin. But there is a way. And they can be combined. They can be back together through? Through the cross. Okay? This is a picture, really easy picture, that you can share with the kids. Just the gospel, as easy as that. There is no formula. There is no algebra. There is not algebra 1, 2, and 3. No. It's something that kids need to understand. Number two, they're unable to save themselves. You cannot be good enough for God. Well, I lied one time, but I'm not going to lie anymore, so maybe that way I'll go to heaven. No. We can't do anything for ourselves. Titus 3:5 says, not by work of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It's his work, not our work. It's his grace, not something we can earn and do, and then we get to heaven. Okay, so now we go to the gospel. The gospel is the way. The way, the person of the Lord Jesus. He is God, but not just God the Father, but he is God the Son. Acts 9:20 says, Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. He is perfect man, God the Son. He is a perfect man, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteous of God in him. He has no sin. He is perfect, the perfect man. There is no one else, just Jesus. He came into earth with a purpose. He never stopped being God. He was still God in a person, taking our figure, being like us, so he can take our punishment. And that's on 2 Corinthians 5:21. The work of the Lord Jesus. He willingly died on the cross, giving his blood as payment for our sin. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He willingly. We all know that a crowd of multitude turned him over. They witnessed wrong things. We all know that the soldiers nailed him to the cross. We all know that the high priest betrayed him and that Judas betrayed him for money. But after all of those who we can study of being guilty of Jesus dead, we find ourselves guilty because he willingly died for our sins, for those who believe. So we tell the kids, we share with them, even though nobody else would have believed in his work, he knew you since the beginning. He knew you, Juanito. He knew you, Elena. He knew you even before you were born, and he knew that you needed a savior. That's why he willingly put himself in the cross, taking the punishment that you and I deserve. He came back to life again. 1 Corinthians 15:4 says, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He lives in heaven with the Father. Number three, the appropriation. That's when we receive Christ. God's invitation. God's invitation is to come to Christ. Revelations 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirst come. So what is that Jesus wants us to do? Come, because that's his personal invitation. It's not pastor's invitation. It's not the teacher's invitation. It's God's personal invitation. Man's responsibility. John 1:12 says, but as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Number one, admit. What am I going to admit? That I'm a sinner, that I've done wrong things. That's the first thing I need to do, admit. Number two, believe. Believe means to put my trust in him. Do you go with a stranger? Do you go in a stranger's car? Do you go into your neighbor's house that you don't even know? We don't go with the strangers. We tell the kids, you can't walk out of the school without mom or dad or whoever you're going to. You can just walk out like with anyone. But Jesus is no stranger. He knows you. He's your friend. He wants to be close with you. But you need to trust him. You need to put your trust in him. Just like you trust mom. Just like you trust dad. Just like you trust grandpa and grandma. God wants you to trust in Jesus because he is the way, the life, and the truth. He's the only one. No one else could take you to heaven but him. That's what believe is. And then call. You don't need a phone or an iPad or anything that we have nowadays. You don't need to Skype. You don't need to FaceTime with God. You don't need it. All you have to say is God. Call on him through prayer. That's what it means to call. If you need to call mom and mom is not here, Is she going to hear you? Mm-hmm. No, because mom is not here. Because you need to grab your phone and say, okay, let me call mom. Mama? Mm-hmm. Mommy, I'm hungry. When are you coming home? But God is here. God is always with you. He is God. So when you need to talk to him, all you have to do is close your eyes and call on him. Say, God, I need you. But of course, if mommy is driving, mommy no need to close the eyes. Mommy can talk to him even though you don't close your eyes. You don't have to be in a specific position to talk to him. You don't need to even be in your knees to talk to him. You just have to communicate with him, straight to him. There is no other way. There is no mom and God, pastor and then God, brother and then mom and then God. No, it's just you and him. Call on him. We're gonna show through that flipper flopper how to present the gospel, and it's on the visual. But at the end of class, I'm gonna do the surprise bag exactly the same way. And you're gonna see how exciting it is to use a surprise bag. What does gold stand for?
Money.
Money, very good. But there is a place where the streets are made of gold, and that place is called heaven. Heaven is where God lives. And who is God? God is our creator. God made everything. God made the trees, the plants, the animals. But the most and beautiful of his creation was you. When he made Adam and Eve, he said, and it was very good. He didn't say it was just good. No, he said it was very good. God loves you so much. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved you. Did you know that? God so loved you. God is perfect. He never does anything wrong. Have you ever done something wrong? Oops. Have you ever need to use an eraser doing homework? Have you ever need to say sorry? Yes, we do wrong things. But because God is perfect and he lives in heaven, there is one thing that cannot be in heaven, and that is sin. Do you know what sin is? Can you tell me an example of sin? Sin is everything we think, say, or do that breaks God's law. How's that? Anyone can give me an example of sin?
Oh, we already did that. We're going to run out of time if you don't hurry.
Hitting my sister.
Hitting your sister. Very good. That is sin. And you know what? Sin cannot be in heaven. We cannot go to heaven where God is when we have sin in our hearts. But there is a wonderful news. God made a plan. He made a plan so that you and I can have our sins forgiven. You see this red color? This means the blood of Jesus. He made a way for you and I to be forgiven. Now, because of what the Lord Jesus did, you can have your sins forgiven and be ready to go to heaven one day. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe what he did on the cross? You know what? He died on the cross for you and for me. He took the punishment that you and I deserved. All you have to do is believe. Now, because of what the Lord Jesus did, you can be ready to go to heaven one day. What God wants you to do is to admit, believe, and call on him. And your heart can be white as snow. Your sins can be forgiven. Like this. You see this white color? God says that he sent Jesus to be the way. And if you want to do that, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand today. And we want to show you with the Bible how you can have your sins forgiven. After you give that invitation, after the children raise their hand, after you ask them to go with Marjorie or your assistant, you show them the last color. And God wants you to grow. God wants you to be just like him, to get to know him better. How would you grow? You will grow when you go to church. when you read your Bible and pray, when you obey God, and when you witness. What does it mean, witness? Witness is to tell others what Jesus did. Witness is to tell your friend, your neighbor, your mom. Perhaps your mom doesn't know Jesus, and without Jesus, she cannot go to heaven. Even though she's your mom, even though she's your grandma, without Jesus, grandma cannot go to heaven. So you need to tell grandma, grandma, Jesus loves you. Jesus wants you to go to heaven one day. But there is a problem, the sin. But Jesus paid for your punishment. All you have to do is believe and grow in His grace. Go to church, read your Bible, obey. Obey God and witness. As easy as the explanation was, this is the gospel bag.
Oh, that's just,
no, this is the gospel bag. The flipper flopper is what you just seen on the visual. And the flipper flopper, the way I didn't use the flipper flopper is because the flipper flopper, it's probably this big. A little book. And when you use the surprise bag, it's different. I don't know if you guys were watching when I was turning the colors.
I was.
It has to be smooth. It has to be easy. They don't know. They're kids. They're like, wow.
Yeah, that's right.
Another color. They don't know the story. They don't know how you're going to present it. There are different ways to present the gospel. There is a flipper flopper, the surprise bag. We have the apron. You see the apron? You see the bags on the bottom?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You put it on here. We have the gospel pots. And the pots, you put each one in each bag. Or you can put different things. For gold, what can you use for gold? Coins. Put coins in there. Mm-hmm. What can you use for sin? Put a toy, a gun, probably. Put a dark heart, and you pull it. You show it to them. Red, what can you use for red? The cross, right?
Yes.
You can show them with a cross. You have a cross, put it in your pocket. You tell, put it back in. White, put a clean heart. Green, a plant, a leaf, something that will grow. You see it? And you tell the story using the apron. They don't know. They just think it's an apron, but it's not just an apron. Again, the song, every tool we use, should be with the purpose. And what's the purpose? The message of salvation, the gospel. I have the scarf right here. It's the same thing. You wear your scarf, you wear it wherever, however you like to wear it. You know, it's not just decoration. Someone will ask, what's up with all those colors, you know? So you really want to know what's up with all these colors? Yeah, it's not Mexico flag, it's another flag. It's from a country you don't know. It's from my country where I'm going to one day. Do you really want to know the story? And you know the story. But this is from a different country. It's not a country you know, but it's a country you can go one day. See? You use it, we have the hat, we have the gospel bag, we have the evangelical cube. Let me show you the evangelical cube really quick. We have both. We have the kids picture and the grown-up picture. Again, you know the story. Sin separates us from God. But God loves you so much that He sent His only and begotten Son, for whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But you know what? He died on the cross. He took your punishment. But He didn't stay dead. He arose from the dead on the third day. And now He's in heaven. He is the way, the life, and the truth. Only through Him you can go to heaven, and you can have your sins forgiven if you ask Him to forgive you, and you can be with God one day. You become a child of God. You're no longer separated. And then you're going to grow in His grace, praying, reading your Bible, giving your heart to Him, going to church, and witnesses, meaning tell others what Jesus just did for you. But if you choose not to, you will be separated from God forever. It's your choice. Say, we have this size, we have the bigger cube. There is different methods you can share the gospel. Share it through the song, share it through the mission story. Just have a simple invitation. Use your apron. You don't have to have a full class and all your gears and tools and everything to share the gospel. Just as you walk by, you're wearing your scarf, you're wearing your hat, you're wearing your bracelet, whatever that you have in hand to share the gospel. That's what's going to make it different. That's what's going to have the kids come alive. On your papers, you have received this copy page, this page. Okay? And this is so simple. Cut it, color it, have it with you in your Bible, share the gospel. It's something that the kids will understand. We're not teaching just adults, but we're teaching the kids. We need to share with them. Any question? So we're going to close in prayer, and I want to ask each one of the teachers here to really ask the Lord, Lord, help me to share the gospel with all the kids I ran into. Not just the ones in school, but the ones in the market, they need Jesus Christ too. Not just the one in Sunday school, but the ones in my neighborhood. It's really simple to do it. We demonstrate it, we went through it. I gave you Bible verses. It's straight from the Bible. It's not something we made up. It's something that God wants us to do. So we're going to give you a few minutes, probably 2-3 minutes for you to pray, and then we're going to dismiss in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to share the gospel. You know who needs him. You know which kid is in your eyes and how you're going to use them in the future. You know all the colors and all the characteristics that makes us unique. You know the way we are. And we ask you to help us to reach out to those kids who need you. They all need you. There is not one that does not need you. Please help us to share the gospel, that they come alive, spiritually alive, and that they can grow. We don't want them dead spiritually. We want them alive for you. You can do great things with them in their lives. They can be missionaries. They can be, Lord, pastors and pastors' wives. And they can impact the world. The new generations can be for you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to help us to reach all of them. Not to limit ourselves. Help us to attend to your call and share the message, which is the most important thing in the world, that they come to you. Give us wisdom and understanding. Help us to compromise with you, first of all, to make an impact wherever we are. Thank you, Lord, for you have made this possible, for you have made this reachable, that we can reach to the gospel. Nothing that we've done, but everything that you've done for us. We ask you, Lord, to help us to bring those kids to you. They're precious in your eyes. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.